is if you would take your Bibles with me, and we're going to go to the very last chapter of the book of Luke. Very quickly, Luke chapter 24. And we have been studying, we went through this journey together this evening, looking at Christmas through the eyes of those who were present, the eyes of the characters in the narrative. And so very simply, and I don't mean it in a hokey way, and sometimes we can mean it this way, what is Christmas to you? I mean, really. I love Christmas just as much as the next person, with the exception of Ebenezer Scrooge, right? I love Christmas. Sorry, that was a bad joke. Never mind. I love Christmas. I really do. I get excited about Christmas in like July. And so there are things about the season that I can get really excited about that are affiliated with the season, but it's not what Christmas is actually about. And I can get, and I'm not even just talking about the gifts. I can get excited about the decorations and the time and the music and the feelings that are involved in Christmas. Let's look at Luke chapter 24 quickly together. And then we're going to backtrack a little bit and go back to the Old Testament. Luke chapter 24 and in verse 44. Jesus is just about to ascend here. And he said unto them, his disciples, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So Jesus is just about to ascend. He's just about to leave. And he sums up his entire ministry and he says, everything that you've heard, everything you knew, everything that scripture foreshadowed about this coming Messiah has been fulfilled. What is Christmas to you? Rehearse that question in your mind as we take a quick overview of the Old Testament. So he says, everything that was written about me has been fulfilled. Where has it been written? It's been written in the law of Moses. You don't have to turn there with me, but there's a very curious passage in Exodus chapter 24, the law of Moses. Chapter 24, verse 15 says, and he took up his discourse and said, the oracle of Balaam. So who's talking here? You know the story of Balaam? This is a pagan prophet who God is speaking through. This is someone who does not believe God. This is someone who's antagonistic towards God. What does God speak through this pagan prophet? Verse 16, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down, descending with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not here. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and it shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down the sons of Sheph. Edom shall be dispossessed. Seir also, his enemies shall be dispossessed, for Israel does valiantly. Everything that would be fulfilled in Jesus in the law of Moses. So we have to backtrack hundreds of years. And so why is this so interesting that this pagan prophet prophesies about the birth of Christ? A star will ascend. A king shall come out of Jacob. What does this signify? And then you also have to get this glimpse of verse 18. Verse 17 and 18. Moab shall be defeated. Sheth shall be defeated. Edom shall be defeated. Seir shall be defeated. The people at this time, when Balaam is making this prophecy, have not yet been captured. Moab and Edom and Seir, all of these pagan nations would capture Israel years after this prophecy is made. So what is Christmas to you? We find in the law of Moses that Christmas is future deliverance. Christmas means there's a time that will come because the star will descend, that king will come out of Jacob. And he will represent absolute freedom. It doesn't matter who binds you. Again, Balaam talking, this pagan prophet, Moab, Edom, these other pagan nations that will come in and they will capture you. It doesn't matter because there's a star that's coming. There's a king that's coming from Jacob, and he will deliver. He will be born for ultimate deliverance. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, this last book of the Pentateuch that we find, Moses prophesies that a prophet like himself will come. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, Moses speaking, from among you, from your brothers. It is to him who you shall listen. Why was Moses so significant? Why a prophet like Moses? Because Moses wasn't like any of the other prophets that you read about, or read their books in the Old Testament. Moses represented freedom to Israel. You go to the New Testament, why was Moses such a big deal to these people? Because when they thought of Moses, they thought a prophet who led us into freedom. So Moses says in the law of Moses that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, he says, a prophet like me is going to come. You should listen to what he says. But what makes him significant is he is also a prophet who signifies freedom. There's life, there's deliverance in him. So all the way back in the law of Moses, we find Christmas prophesied. We find the birth of Christ prophesied. And it represents to us deliverance. What is Christmas to you? Is it just fun? Is it traditions that you argue about, you know, when you get families together? Is it the songs you enjoy? Is it the lists? The pressure of getting everything, or everyone everything they wanted? What about the prophets? There's time. We could be in the prophets referring in their prophecies and their foreshadowings of Christmas. We could be there for years and find the beauty in them. We go to Isaiah and we hear about this prophet who, or this man who is to come, who a child is born and a son is given, Isaiah 9 verse 6, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he'll be to us a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. Then we find out where Jesus would be born in Micah 5 verse 2. You, Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, you tiny, insignificant town, is what the prophet is saying. From you shall come forth one who is to be ruler in Israel, who is coming forth, is told of old from the ancient days. Now, when these books were written, Isaiah and Micah, Israel was in captivity. Israel has been bound by the surrounding regions of Assyria and the constant threat of Babylon. And so what is Christmas in the prophets? It's hope. Something better will come. Don't fear. There's threats, there's danger, there's turmoil all around you. But there will be a birth from which the world will absolutely turn upside down. It will change forever. And there will be foreshadowings when that king comes of a life that has no end, that is full of endless joy, at which at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. Don't fear, because a child is coming, and there is hope in that child. And then in the Psalms, Jesus references, And you read all throughout the Psalms, those beautiful messianic Psalms, and it starts in the second Psalm. It talks about how the Son will come and deliver, and how the nations must accept that Son, how they must respect that Son. Kiss the Son, the psalmist says. Give your life to that Son. Why? Because he's a perfect king who will rule, and he will rule with justice, and he will rule with mercy. What is Christmas to you? Hokey question, maybe, but do you find yourself distracted? Do you find yourself focusing on all the lights, on all the beauty of the season, the feelings of the season, the sentiment of the season, having family together, and then there's the stress of those things, and we miss this beautiful story that traces itself all the way from the very beginning throughout the pages of God's word and is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, from which he says, all of these things are now done and I may ascend to my Father. Do you realize how significant this statement that Jesus is making to his disciples? In essence, he's saying, the story of God has been completed in me. Now, where do you fit? Where do you fall in that narrative? Are you going to be as a disciple to follow this great king, to learn of him, to allow his birth and his life and his death to be the heartbeat of your soul and the motivation of your life? What is Christmas? What is Christmas to you? And may we this year and the years to come go throughout after Thanksgiving in the December season, living like people who have their lives founded upon a scene, and in which that scene, the centerpiece, is lying in a manger that was told to both the great like the Magi and the culturally insignificant like shepherds. Because it is a great king who saved insignificant people like you and me, that he may call us to a remarkable purpose. And where he calls us, he does not send us alone. He guides us and provides grace and mercy and leading in that way. Christmas should be the simple reminder of proof of all the promises that what man has made wrong, Jesus will make right. That is what Christmas is to a believer. Proof of the promises that what man has made wrong, Jesus has made right. So consider him and run the race with patience. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time we've had together. There are so many incredible, beautiful passages in your word that point us to Jesus and his birth. Help us to remind ourselves daily why we do what we do in December. Because there's a world who needs to be delivered. There's a world that needs hope, and there's a world that needs a king. And we have all of those. As we close our service now, we thank you for the service of all who were involved today. I pray that you would keep us safe as we go through our days. Fill us with your grace that we may speak the message of this baby who was born to die to all who need life, hope, and a king. In your name I pray these things. Amen.